But God says, listen, there is something that you can rejoice in continually, no matter what. Your names are written in heaven. No one can take that away from you.
What happens when you get a large group of healthy children together at a family gathering? Most of the time, it will be a joyful experience. But how can you set things right if a few of the kids start being unruly? On a larger scale, a pastor is always pleased to see his spiritual children gather to worship the Lord. But how should a pastor respond if he sees a few of them misbehaving? Welcome to the Voice of Truth with Pastor J.D. Glasscock of Calvary Chapel, Houston Metro. The Apostle Paul was pleased that the believers in Thessalonica were mostly behaving well. But at the end of his first letter to them, Paul felt the need to set a few things right. The principle Paul set forth are very applicable to us today, as Pastor J.D. will explain in the message, The Healthy Church Body.
Would you turn with me in your Bibles this morning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? I discovered what my introduction was. Believe it or not, it was a Coca-Cola sign, and maybe you've seen it. It's this bottle of Coca-Cola that says, it's not a mirage. And, you know, you get the idea that you could just reach out there and take it. It tastes so good. Well, you know, there's some scriptures in the Bible, some passages that they seem almost like they are a mirage. You read them and you go, you know what, I feel like I should just be able to reach out the way Paul speaks of this and just take a hold of it, but it seems elusive. When I reach for it, it's not there. Our passage is one of those such passages. But I want to assure you, as we read through this text, even though I myself, as I've prepared over the week, I go, man, this is heavy. How do we do this? I assure you that it is attainable. Not by our own means, but just simply through the empowering of the Holy Spirit, who will enable us to do all things that the Bible gives us to do. You may remember that we're talking about what is a healthy church, how to maintain a healthy church, a healthy congregation. And we started out in chapter 5 at verse 12, speaking about how a congregation is to respond to the leadership of the church. And Paul says, and we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and who are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. That was part one. And then part two, in verses 14 and 15, Paul encourages the church in their relationships with each other. Verse 14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all, see that no one renders evil for evil, but always pursue what is good for yourselves and for all. And you remember we talked about the unruly person who's like, you know, the unruly hair. And I noticed there are some people that went out and got haircuts this week. Part three here, beginning at verse 16, the mirage. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Three marks of a healthy relationship with God. First of all, Paul tells us that we're to be continually rejoicing. Next, we are to be continually praying. And finally, we are to have continual thanksgiving for everything, the Bible says. And as you read through the book of Acts, you quickly discover that rejoicing, praying, giving thanks, these were essential elements of the daily life in the early church. And a healthy church is one where people are rejoicing, where people are praying together, where people are giving thanks. Acts chapter 5 tells us that the apostles, they were beaten because they were caught teaching in the temple. They were hauled there before the chief priests. They were beaten, and it says that when they were allowed to go free, that they went away and they rejoiced. And they were just thankful for the very privilege of being counted worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. How is it that people that are struggling in persecution and going through so much and must feel a tremendous sense of difficulty as they face those trials day after day after day, even just for getting up and teaching the Word of God, how is it that they can go away and They can be rejoicing and they can be giving thanks. We discovered that today in our passage that we are to rejoice also. That's the first principle here. Rejoicing is a mark of a healthy relationship with the Lord. Like the apostles of Acts chapter 5, the people within the early church at Thessalonica, they were severely persecuted because of their newfound relationship with Jesus Christ. And yet Paul writes in verse 16, rejoice always. Rejoice always. We sing that song. Rejoice always. In everything, rejoice. What does it mean to rejoice? Well, the word rejoice has at its root the word joy. Many people equate the word joy, however, with happiness. We sometimes misunderstand exactly what is joy. Is joy the same thing as happiness? Is happiness the same thing as joy? And the Bible would say, no, it's not. You see, joy and happiness are two very different experiences. Happiness takes place within the realm of the mind and the emotions. I can be a happy person. You may give me a new car. I'd be very happy to have a new car. But if I'm driving on the way to church this morning and there's an idiot behind me that forgets to put on his brakes and he runs into my new car, I can tell you that I would probably come in here and I'd be very, very sad. You see, in our mind and in our emotions, these happiness, sadness, it comes and goes. But joy, on the other hand, is something else. Something different. What is it exactly? Well, you know, the body is made up of the mind, the body, and the spirit. When we talk about the physical body, that's what relates to the material. The soul is your personality, your mind, your emotions, that which you might say relates to people. But the real you, the very deepest part of you, is the spirit. That is the part of you that goes on living forever. Listen, the body's going to wear out, doesn't it? The body is wearing out, some of us faster than others. And this body will crater one day. But the spirit will go on. The spirit is going to continue on. And you see, the Bible says that in Christ Jesus, we are a new creation. Behold, all things are passed away and all things become new. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. We have that new spirit within us that was dead in trespasses and sin, but through Jesus Christ has been made alive. So we find that joy is a continual experience within the spirit of man. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, though our hearts are sorrowful, we are always full of joy. You say, well, how can that be? How can the heart be sorrowful and yet full of joy? Well, you see, in my emotions, I can be sorrowful. I can even grieve. But the spirit within me that has become alive in Christ Jesus can experience joy. Now, when we talk about rejoicing, we're talking about sometimes that outward expression of what is within. As we were participating this morning in worship, and we were all together in worship, that was this form of rejoicing before the Lord. And just, oh, Lord, you're so good. We love you, and we rejoice together. It's an outward expression of the joy that is within. And you know, only a believer can experience this. And then there's that inward rejoicing. Sometimes you may be at a store, maybe a thought comes to your mind, a scripture, a passage, or you think about something good that God has done, and oh, you just rejoice. Oh, Lord, thank you so much for what you've done. I just rejoice in what you're doing in my life right now. Or I rejoice in what you're doing in my friend's life, or my husband's life, or my wife's life. And there's that sense of rejoicing because we have joy within the spirit of man. Now, some might say, well, you know what? I really don't have anything to rejoice over. My circumstances are so bad. You have no idea what I'm going through. How am I supposed to rejoice with this difficult trial that I'm facing right now? I can't rejoice in this. It is true that difficult and trying circumstances have the potential to squelch rejoicing. I will say that is true. Because sometimes we become so focused on ourself and our problems and our issues, and rejoicing is just squelched. We feel like we can no longer rejoice. I was wondering really how to illustrate this. In fact, I was struggling with this message overall and bringing it all together yesterday. And usually when that happens, I need to go out and I take a long walk. And where we live, there's a lot of places to take long walks. And you go outside the door there at the house, if you've been to the ranch, and you know there's a lake behind the house, and there's a what we call a dike. It's what dams up the water to keep it from going over into the creek. And it's not very wide. The dike is, you know, from here to there. And you have to go across that dike in order to get to the other side if you're going to get to the road. Well, it just happened to be that as I was walking across that dike, there's one of our biggest, meanest, scariest looking bulls standing right in the middle of the dike. Big bull, I call him Goliath. And Goliath really didn't look like he was in a very good mood. He was, you know, paw on the ground, you know, and snorting. You know, this is a true story. He really was. And I thought, I don't want to get on this guy's bad side today. You know, I'm here to take a walk, not to get in a fight. But, you know, there's only so much room. You know, how are you going to get around Goliath? Well, as it turned out, I started walking towards the bull, and he was making all these noises, and they do this thing where they go, pretty close to that. And they'll be doing that for like 15 or 20 minutes. And as they're walking, they're just going, "Moo." And so as I'm walking towards Goliath, I heard him doing this noise. And I know what that noise means because I've been raised with cattle. It's a challenge. It's a challenge. I got a little nervous until on the other side of the lake, I heard another. "Moo. Moo." I looked across the lake, and there was this little group of cows over there, and there was another bull there with that group of cows. And you see, anytime you have one group of cows and you have two bulls, you have the potential for a fight. One bull was challenging the other, and that's how they get territory. They gain territory. You have to go across there. This black bull is going to have to go and defeat the red bull that is on the other side of the lake if he wants that group of cows. Now listen, our nature is like those bulls. You see, we have a nature within us, though we have been redeemed, though we have the new spirit within us, we have the old man that is going, "Moo, moo, moo." And it challenges us. It challenges the spirit to a fight. And there's this battle that takes place between the old man, my old sinful flesh, my old nature, and the new man who is created in Christ Jesus. And it's a real battle, and it's a continual challenge. You know what I'm talking about. Now remember, we're talking about rejoicing in difficult times. It's a battle. You see, anytime you're going through hardship, yes, you can rejoice in the spirit, but the old man is always going to be there for battle. No, you can't rejoice in that. That's too hard. Too difficult right now. You can't do it. But you see, the Bible says we can. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. You remember I was telling you it's like a mirage. It's a passage that we see, rejoice in all things. It seems like it's unattainable, and yet the Bible says that we are to do it. Rejoice in all things. Now, why should we rejoice? Why should I rejoice within my difficult? Why should I rejoice right now at all? What is there to rejoice about? I'd like to look at 10 reasons this morning why we may rejoice. These are all biblical reasons. Number one, I rejoice because God is on my side regardless of my circumstances. I like that. Psalm 28, verse 7 said, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices. And with my song, I will praise him." Psalm 28, 7. In spite of present difficulties, listen, the Bible says that God, if you are a child of God, God is on your side. He is there for you. He is there to strengthen you. He is there to be your shield. You may put your trust in him. Therefore, because of that, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song, I may praise him. Number two, God has redeemed me. God has redeemed me. Romans 5, 1 and 2, Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand," and notice with me, "and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Listen, I have peace with God through Christ Jesus. It's a free gift. 1 Peter 1:8-9 says, "Speaking of Jesus, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." God has redeemed us through Jesus Christ, his Son. And regardless of what circumstances may be taking place in your life, that can never be taken away. Number three, I rejoice because of the work of the Holy Spirit within my life. Romans 14, 16 and 17, "Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace," and notice, "and joy in the Holy Spirit." You have this ministry of the Holy Spirit working within you 24/7. And the Bible says it's joy, it's peace, and it's joy. Usually the question is, are we yielding to the Holy Spirit and allowing that peace? And are we allowing his joy? Number four, I rejoice because of the spiritual blessings that are mine in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1:3 said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." You know what that means? That means we can lose our home here on earth. We may lose our jobs. We may lose our car. But you can never take away the spiritual blessings that every one of us have in Christ Jesus that we get to enjoy forever. And we enjoy now. Now here's one we all kind of run from. This seems like another one of those mirage passages. Number five, I rejoice because God is orchestrating all things for good on my behalf. All things. James 1, 2, and 3. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." I like the New Living Translation. "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." How many of us think that way? Do you think that way? Not in the flesh, we don't, do we? That's a spiritual thing, man. I could never think that way in the flesh. But the Bible says that as I learn to trust in God and realize that every circumstance, all that I'm going through, the difficulties, regardless of how hard it is, that I can rejoice because God has allowed that into my life for a purpose. Because he wants to make me more and more like Jesus Christ. He wants to conform me into the... And listen, that only comes through, many times, through difficult trials and hardship. So we can count that all joy when we go through trials. Number six, I rejoice because God is always with me. The Bible declares that he will never leave me or forsake me. Psalm 16, 8 and 9. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. Does it bring comfort to you? Just to know that regardless of what your circumstances are, listen, God doesn't leave you, forsake you. You may have a friend that leaves you. You may have a husband that leaves you or a wife that leaves you. But the Bible says God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And he is always there for you. And we rejoice in that. What number was that? Just testing you, making sure you're awake. All right. Number 7. I rejoice because of the future glory that I will have in heaven with Jesus Christ. In Luke's Gospel chapter 10, we read about the 70 disciples. You remember how they went out and they performed miracles and they evangelized. And it said when they came back, they were like the missionaries coming back from Africa. They were happy. They were jubilant. Oh, you should see what took place, what happened while we were in Africa. Great news, glorious news. Jesus responds with a very fascinating statement, I believe. He says, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." You see, you may go out one time and you may not have that experience. In fact, they may run you right out of town. But God says, listen, there is something that you can rejoice in continually, no matter what. Your names are written in heaven. No one can take that away from you. Number 8. How about answered prayer? We rejoice in that. John 16, 23 and 24 says, "And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive." And it says that your joy may be full. God expects and intends for you to be joyful, because when you ask in his name according to his will and you receive that which you ask for in faith, the Bible says that your joy is full. How many have prayed prayers, even maybe this past week, and you've seen answers to those prayers? How many of you have seen answers this week to something you've been praying about for a long time? Does it cause you to rejoice? As you just say, "Wow, Lord, you know, I never thought that would have happened. I didn't think that, I just thought it was an impossible situation, and I had written it off." And then you see that answer to prayer, and you're just, "Oh, Lord, that's so good. I rejoice in that." Number 9, I rejoice in the gift of God's word. Psalm 19:8 says, "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart." The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Number 10, and I really like this one, I rejoice because I have fellowship with you, and you have fellowship with me, and together our fellowship is with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 1 John 1, 3 and 4, "That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you," John here in his letter is speaking about Jesus Christ, "that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." And he says, "And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full." Fellowship with each other, gathering together like this. Listen, it is a joy and it is a privilege to come together in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But we are centered upon the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we share that common Lord, and we rejoice in this.
You have been listening to The Voice of Truth with Pastor J.D. Glasscock of Calvary Chapel, Houston Metro. For a copy of today's message, call 281-499-6301. That's 281-499-6301. And mention today's date or you can visit our website at calvary.cc. That's calvary.cc. Calvary Chapel meets for worship services every Sunday morning at 9:30 at 7711 Brazewood Boulevard in Houston, Texas. We also have a midweek Bible study Wednesday evenings at 7. Thank you for listening, and we hope you will join us again for the next broadcast of The Voice of Truth.